Hello, and welcome to our At Any Rate Emerging Markets Focus podcast, a place for us to discuss recent developments and key issues of focus in the emerging market fixed income asset class. I'm Johnny Gordon from the Emerging Markets Strategy team here at JP Morgan, and I'm joined by Saad Siddiqui, also from our Emerging Markets Strategy team. Saad, thanks for joining.
Hi, good to be on.
So we find ourselves again in one of those moments where EM markets have had a bit of a sell-off due to moves higher in US rates. This time, we'd had a bit of a dovish FOMC in the run-up, better growth data, a bit of an EM rally, and then the third hot monthly US CPI print in a row, which initially caused about 1.5% EM FX sell-off versus the dollar, local bond yields up about 16 basis points, sovereign spreads about 25 wider, corporates only 10, although markets have stabilized a little bit since then and are trying to work out today what the US GDP print means. But we'll try and unpick this EM sell-off and how we're viewing it in today's podcast. And Saad, let's start with that. How and why have we reacted to the latest US CPI data about 2 weeks ago?
So I think the story for a lot of this year has been about expectations that the Fed is going to be easing, inflation is going to be coming down, and that broader trend is going to be reflected across emerging markets as well. And that underpinned our bullish stance in emerging market assets, in rates and in FX. But I think the last couple of months, it seems that we've had more volatility at the short end of the US curve. We felt after the last FOMC that potentially we were getting more support for the bullish view from a dovish Fed. But that last CPI print, I think, did put a bit of a spanner in the works for that view. We felt it was likely to prompt a greater repricing in US rates, and that volatility would clearly not be helpful for EM assets. So we felt at that time it would be prudent to step aside, have a more neutral stance on emerging market assets, and wait for a repricing before looking to get back in. But Johnny, this isn't the first sell-off in emerging market assets, through the period where US rates have been repricing. So how does this more recent sell-off compare to previous episodes?
Yeah, so the lens in which I've been trying to look at this so far is similar to that which we used in the sell-off scene last year between July, August, and October 2023. We did the same stepping aside process that you described then, sort of get out the way of the US rates repricing, but look to engage when we felt that process was complete. And it feels a bit like the same type of genesis. Markets repricing US rates because growth is better. And so we need to wait for that to happen. There's some curing of the process itself as financial conditions tighten within that. And then we sort of look to re-engage. There are some differences, though, and I think the global backdrop has also helped explain some of the differentiation in market environment. Back then in last, let's say up to October, you were seeing this rates repricing against a backdrop where actually the growth environment was looking worse outside the US. So the US was holding up, but you had a falling global composite PMI, global manufacturing wasn't doing anything, commodities were also falling. The situation now actually looks a bit different there. So we have both the move higher in rates, but at the same time, we're seeing non-US growth actually tick up, manufacturing PMIs, commodity prices also picking up. So that generally should give us a bit more of a supportive EM backdrop. And so far, magnitudes have not been as big in the moves that we've seen. So that's some of the way I think about it. How do you think about the comparison?
I think a lot boils down to how anchored do you think the short end of the US curve is going to be. Back in October of last year, we had a much more pronounced steepening of the US yield curve, whereas this time around, the US curve has been much more range bound. So to the extent that short and US rates pricing doesn't move a lot from here, I would generally concur. But I think that is clearly going to be a function of the next batch of CPI prints. You know, it seems that in client conversations, people are more open to the notion that maybe the Fed could conceivably have to hike rates as well. That's not our base case, but those types of scenarios, I think, will increasingly come into the minds of investors and the markets if we were to see another big upside surprise to CPI. So at present, I think it does seem a little bit binary in terms of the risks that we have contingent on the next set of CPI prints.
Okay, so let's have a look then at what's actually gone on in markets here. Pick through the rubble a bit. Let's start with rates, actually. How are VM rate markets reacted? How are they looking now after this move?
So we've seen some pretty significant moves at both the long and short end of yield curves, particularly in Latin America, also in parts of EMEA, EM. Some of that, I think, probably was reflective of positioning, where market participants were really positioned for relatively fast and swift and rapid rate cutting cycles. So a lot of that, a lot of the brunt of the sell-off has been in some of those curves. Places like Brazil, Mexico, Colombia have all seen significant sell-off, more than 50 basis points across their yield curves. You know, if you look at where we are now in terms of valuation, quite a few markets, both in Latin America and in EMEA EM, are looking quite cheap on our fair value frameworks. So it is suggesting that, you know, we have been overshooting in this latest leg of the sell-off, at least in those select pockets.
And do you think that means it's time to add back yet? Or I guess we have the risk that the EM central banks react to this volatility and change their own stance?
Yeah, you think from a more medium-term perspective, given where the valuations right now, they're actually pretty good levels to consider bullish positions in duration. The question is really about near-term event risks and whether we get further near-term volatility, especially ahead of the next batch of U.S. data, U.S. CPI prints. I think it's also illustrative to think about what Asian central banks have been doing. They have been shifting a bit more hawkishly. We had this week's surprise rate hike by Indonesia, 25 basis points, which was against what the consensus and expectations were. So it's clear that at least in Asia, there are, you know, the central banks were always going to be more sensitive to repricing in the US curve, given they did not have a lot of interest rate buffer versus the US to begin with. You know, so I think some of that could be a dress rehearsal for other central banks as well, and how they might behave if we were to see some more upside surprises to US inflation. I think there is still a lot of value in frontier markets as well. Those frontier local markets are ones that are far less sensitive to kind of near-term gyrations and near-term volatility in the US and in kind of US rates. So markets such as, you know, Egypt, Dom Rep, those still, I think, look like relatively attractive propositions that aren't going to be as sensitive to near-term vol.
And what about EM currency markets here?
I think EM FX is probably where we have seen much broader signs of oversold conditions. If you look at our EM FX risk appetite index, for example, that's within a whisker of levels that historically signal that we have at least made a local bottom in EM currencies. So that's where I think one can make a more broader based case that if things stabilize, there is good value to be had in EM currencies, whereas in rates, I think it's still more selective, still more dependent on central bank actions, and so on. So I think EM currencies, especially the high carry currencies that have got good fundamentals, the one that we've been highlighting for some time, high carry currencies in Latin America that also benefit from higher commodity prices, I think those are offer relatively good entry levels at this juncture. Well, let's finish up with EM credit. Johnny, what has the fallout been on the credit side of things?
Yeah, so we've had a bit of a spread widening in EM credit, but really it hasn't been that significant. And particularly with the high yield portion in EM, and in DM markets actually have not sold off anywhere near as much as they did, for example, in the sell-off that we discussed earlier from sort of July through to October. And I think that's because of those factors we've discussed. You know, the growth outlook looks better than it did then, when there was still probably a more significant risk of a nearer term recession. The tail risk probably feels a bit lower in terms of where terminal US rates will get to. Obviously, there are probabilities opening up that they will policy rates will go higher from here. But it's not the base case. And we've obviously had some pivot from the Fed at the end of last year. So obviously, as discount rates go higher, US rates go higher, all assets reprice a bit, and we have had some widening in credit. It's been a bit more uniform in credit markets between EM and DM. But as I said, it looks a bit more like a rates repricing than a more significant risk repricing, because the high yield components of both EM, where you've had some real idiosyncratic improvements over the last 3 to 6 months, and for DM haven't really moved anywhere near as much as they did in that last episode. And that brings us to the end of this JP Morgan, at any rate, Emerging Markets Focus podcast. Thanks to you, Saad, for joining today, and thank you all for listening. And we hope to have you back again with us for the next one. This communication is provided for information purposes only. Please refer to JP Morgan research reports related to its content for more information, including important disclosures. 2024 JP Morgan Chase & Company, all rights reserved. This episode was recorded on the 25th of April, 2024.